appearances are not always what they seem. Jesus hung out with people who needed a Savior. He didn't hang out with self-righteous religious elites. The people judging Jesus by his appearance and not by his character totally misunderstood him. The people who judged Jesus by who he hung around misunderstood his motives and his purpose.
And that is just one moment from today's Peace and Power Bible Talk with Dr. Jim Coleman. Welcome. Somewhere deep within, each of us desires an inner flow of peace and power that transforms our daily attitudes, relationships, and life decisions. The Bible, God's message to us, teaches us to live in that flow. Remember, the outline of today's talk is available in the show notes, and the full transcript is posted on our website at peaceandpowerpodcast.com. That's peaceandpowerpodcast.com. Now let's listen for God's guidance in today's Bible talk.
One midsummer morning, I was driving on the parkway from my hometown to a church camp. About 20 minutes from the camp, there was a transport truck in front of me and a car in front of it. I would soon learn that the driver of that car and her husband in the passenger seat had just finished the night shift. They were on their way home, and she nodded off. As the truck in front of me and I took a left curve in the road, she didn't. She only hit part of the guardrail, which couldn't have stopped her anyway, going at 70 miles per hour. The front of her car dug into the bank, which meant the back of the car began that upward acceleration which would cause it to flip end over end, two full rotations. The trucker and I swerved over to the shoulder and ran back to the scene. I had no bars on my phone, so the trucker called 911. Before we could get to the car, which had partially wrapped around a tree, both the man and the woman emerged, staggering, dazed, and she began to cry. We helped them to the shoulder of the road, and the man lit a cigarette, and I could tell they were young, in their 20s. Neither could find their cell phones, and though there were no signs of a fire in the car, we discouraged them from going back to the car so soon. A highway patrolman arrived, and he tried to get a feel for the scene, and then asked the trucker and me not to leave, that he wanted a statement from each of us. Then came the EMTs. The woman was bleeding from a cut above her right eye, and the patrolman took the trucker's statement and then asked me if that's what I witnessed. I said yes. As he turned to leave, I looked back at the car and then at the couple. It just seemed to be a moment to say the obvious. May I say, I believe that God isn't finished with either of you. Only by his protection have you walked away from your car. You must have something more to do in your lives. Maybe you should pray about that, discover that. The young man said, well, I don't go to church, but every night before I go to sleep, I ask for God to keep me safe. I nodded and said, well, your prayer came true today. You'll have quite a prayer of gratitude tonight, I guess. For a moment, our eyes met, and he was deep in thought. This incident demonstrates the two meanings of the word witness. I was a witness of something, the automobile accident, and the highway patrol officer wanted to take down the truck driver's witness and to see if my witness corroborated that. Then, in another sense, for a moment, I felt prompted to witness to something, not just of something, to my faith, my belief that God's hand was at work in this couple's life, and I invited them to see that God had a plan for their future. We don't need such dramatic moments to be a witness. More than we realize, everyday moments offer us more opportunities to speak of our faith. In fact, there is a flow to witnessing. God moves and we are witnesses of that divine action. And then to others, we bear witness to God's action. Then others become witnesses of our testimony. And then the praise flows back to God. At the beginning of Luke chapter 19, we read one of the most well-known Bible stories, and it's a story about witnesses. The man in this story becomes a very unlikely witness for Jesus. Here's how the story reads in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, if I have cheated people on their taxes. I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." First, in this story, we see what kind of a witness Jesus is, an itinerant witness. During most of his ministry, our Lord went to people. He did not set up some kind of shrine and have people come to him. This is the nature of God. God always comes to, pursues us. God makes the first move, takes the first step, meets us where we are. And Jesus is just like his heavenly Father. Jesus tours, preaching around to the variety of villages in Palestine about the kingdom of God. This action is a particular kind of grace. Grace is God's undeserved favor toward us. And this type of grace we call prevenient grace. God's grace that goes before us, provides a path for us into a relationship with him. Jesus' traveling ministry brought grace to people who didn't even know where to begin looking for it themselves. Maybe people who followed Jesus had the Jesus Tour 80-30 t-shirt. I don't know. But we do know Jesus was on tour, and he comes to Jericho. He comes to Zacchaeus' town. Jesus is an itinerant rabbi, encircled by a throng of people, some who want spiritual truth and others who want only sensationalism. But regardless whether people will truly understand Jesus' witness of the words and the mission that the Father gave to him, he comes to them. Then notice how in verse 2 there's a description of Zacchaeus. He was a Jewish man who had joined the Roman tax collection business. And he is overcharging his own people in taxes. And they look at him as a traitor. If you ask the Jewish people in Jericho who Zacchaeus was, they would say he's a traitor. This is his witness, the witness of greed and aiding the enemy, Rome. He was a traitor. As I'm speaking these words, there is an election process going on in the United States. And I saw in the national news recently a negative campaign ad that one candidate ran against another. This opponent said, "You elected so-and-so to go to Washington to represent your values, but he hasn't. He has betrayed you." Well, no one likes a traitor. And Zacchaeus was a traitor. This is his life witness to this point. But on this day, Zacchaeus wants to see this Jesus of Nazareth as he enters Jericho, where a crowd has already gathered. Along with the others lining the village main street, he wants to be an eyewitness to the arrival of Jesus. This is the historical record upon which most of the narrative of the gospel is based, eyewitness testimony. The Apostle John claims himself as the primary eyewitness of his gospel. He wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, "We have seen, heard, and touched." But along the way, John in his gospel presents eyewitness after eyewitness to the ministry of Jesus. Many of these eyewitnesses are like Zacchaeus. Their curiosity about Jesus leads to an encounter with Jesus. For example, there's a Jewish leader, Nicodemus, who is curious about Jesus' ministry. So he comes to Jesus in the darkness of night and has a life-changing encounter in that conversation. This is often the way God works. We remember Moses, who was curious as to why that bush was burning in the desert. And he went to the bush and encountered God. If Jesus' earthly ministry was today, videos of his miracles would go viral. People would be curious to see them, and hopefully their curiosity would lead to an encounter, which would become faith. If Zacchaeus can just get to the right spot, he too will be an eyewitness. So he climbs into this tree, and he has a clear look at Jesus walking into town. In fact, Jesus is getting closer, 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 and there he is almost right under Zacchaeus as he passes through. And then Jesus stops, and he looks up right at Zacchaeus, and Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' home. Can't you hear Zacchaeus saying, yes, yes, of course. And along the way, Zacchaeus is texting his friends and telling them to come that evening for supper. Zacchaeus will be an eyewitness to Jesus' ministry. But did you notice the crowd's reaction? They're disappointed. Disappointed that someone of Jesus' popularity and stature would invite himself to the traitor's home. And the murmuring begins. Why, can you believe it? Well, I've never heard such a thing. That settles it, someone else probably said. He's not the Messiah, or he wouldn't be hanging around lowlifes like Zacchaeus. I suppose they had never heard of that sermon in which Jesus declared, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. That's in Luke chapter 5, verse 31. Several years ago, I worked at a radio station with a man named D. D was a clean-cut, part-time city police officer and part-time radio announcer. About 6 months after I'd left the station, I was walking in a shopping area, and passing to my left was a man who resembled, well, kind of looked like, maybe it was, D. His hair was very different, though, much longer, and his skin was pale, and he really looked horrible. And beside him walked some people that he was hanging out with that just didn't quite look like his crowd. Obviously, I said to myself, there's a part of Dee's life now that I don't know about. And I judged him. I judged him by the way he looked and the friends he had. A few weeks later, I was at a music concert, and I spotted Dee in his police uniform. He looked like himself. He was standing there in his patent leather-issued shoes. So I went over to talk. Dee, great to see you. How are you? He said he was very good, and it was nice to be back on his regular beat. For the past few weeks, he had been undercover in a local drug ring, and he was glad that was over. I stood there, ashamed. I had judged Dee for how he looked and who he hung out with, and didn't trust his character. I didn't trust the character I should have known him to be, a skillful and brave, dedicated law enforcement officer. Appearances are not always what they seem. Jesus hung out with people who needed a savior. He didn't hang out with self-righteous religious elites. The people judging Jesus by his appearance and not by his character totally misunderstood him. The people who judged Jesus by who he hung around misunderstood his motives and his purpose. Now, interestingly, we don't know what Jesus taught about when he preached at Zacchaeus' house. But whatever it was, Zacchaeus felt convicted. He felt guilty of how he had cheated people for more taxes than they really owed. And Zacchaeus knew that he couldn't live with that traitor in the mirror anymore. So, right there in his living room, publicly, Zacchaeus repents. He confesses his sin, and he promises to change his mind and his behavior. To repent means to change direction, and Zacchaeus promises to do a U-turn in his life. Can you imagine what a witness this was to his business associates and friends? The awkward silence in that room that followed? And hadn't some of them done their own cutting the corners, under-the-table business? Was Zacchaeus' witness an invitation for them to repent to. And according to Jesus, this was not just Zacchaeus' momentary emotional reaction to the day's events. No, Zacchaeus is permanently changed. He has found what Christ called salvation. He is now in right relationship with God and with others. He is converted from the selfish, dishonest traitor to the generous, honest Christ follower. Zacchaeus' life witness has been changed. May I ask, what about you? Have you been a witness of God's forgiveness? Does your life now witness to God's grace, to your repentance and conversion, and the change in your mind and heart? If that's not yet your experience, Jesus is inviting Himself to your house today, so to speak, into your life story today. You might want to reread this story about Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 and do what Zacchaeus did. Trust Jesus to change your life. Hear this peace and power truth. Jesus' power can transform your life and your witness.
Thank you for listening to the Peace and Power Podcast, and we invite you to subscribe to hear the next upcoming Bible Talk. Again, our website is peaceandpowerpodcast.com, and our prayer is that God's Word has brought you a greater sense of a supernatural flow of God's peace and power in your life.